Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Shvois Daf Vav. We begin six lines off the top of the Amud. Vehecha Shaminan Rabbi Kiva. Zula Malamizu. Back to the four shades of white, which constitute the four levels of Nega. A fellow discovers this white blotch on his skin, his tummy, provided it conforms, it matches with one of those four shades of white discussed in the Mishnah. One is Baheres, the brightest. Boher, right, the brightest. The Pasuk speaks about Lisa'is, Ulasapachas, Ula Baharis. So Baharis is the top of the line, that's the brightest, the most stark of all whites, snow white. We have Se'is, which is also a primary color, primary shade of white, a very bright white, but one notch below the stark snow white. The Mishnah calls it Kitzemer Lovin, like fresh new white wool on a newborn sheep. So if we count it from 1 to 4, 4 being the brightest, that would be Baharis, down to 3, which is Se'is. Then we have two shades, which are below, which are less bright than those aforementioned ones. Those are called sapachas. Sapachas is like an add-on, like an attachment. So they're a notch lower than the other ones. One is kesid ha'echel, like the white paint of the hechel, and the bottom one, the least bright, is called kikrum be'a, like the membrane, white membrane of an egg, which is sort of a dull white, almost like an off-white. So we have 4, 3, 2, and 1. 4 being the Baharis, 3 being Seis, 2 being Sid HaEichel, and number 1 being Krum Be'a, which is the bottom, least bright. We have two approaches in terms of understanding the four shades of white, the four types of Nega. According to the Chachamim's view, there are like two groups, two families. We have Baharis, which is the Av, the primary color in its, you know, class, accompanied by its own Sapachas, by its own Teilada, its own derivative, so to speak. So we have the parent color, we have a derivative color, which is Sid HaEichel. So number 4, which is Snow White, the top, connects to down to number 2, which is Sid HaEichel. That's the add-on. That's the Teilada. It's like a father with a son. That's one family. Se'es, which we said is number 3, like the white wool, really bright color. It has its own second in command, its own secondary color, its own derivative, its own Teilada, like a offspring. It attaches down to number 1, the lowest form of white, which is Kikrum Beit. So you have 2 with 4 and 1 with 3. Two separate groups, two separate families, so to speak. And you can't really mix and match. You can't take, let's say you want to be Metzarif to get the required shiur, which is the shiur of a geris, a space where 36 hair can grow on the body. So you need a minimum blotch of that size. Suppose half of it is like the egg membrane and half of it is like the white paint in the hechel, on the hechel wall. Could you join them? Could you combine them? According to this approach, you cannot, because they're two different families, two different classes of white. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not so. He says, Zula malamizu, vizula malamizu. It's a string, an ongoing succession of colors. It's not like there are two distinct entities here. And sure, just connect, just combine. As long as you're connecting with the shade of white, which is right next to yours. So one can connect with two, two can join with three, and so on and so forth. You can't leapfrog, you can't jump over and connect with something which is two steps away, that the colors are too far apart. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're compatible with your next door neighbor only. So the bottom one is the egg, paint, wool, and snow. So as long as you're just connecting to the next one over, you're good. according to Rabbi Akiva, the way Rashi learns, although we have something called Beheres, which is on top, followed by Seis, which is a notch below, but the two beneath that, which we called 1 and 2, are attachments to Seis. It's not like one belongs to Beheres, they're sort of secondary to Seis, which allows them to connect to each other. So as we said, we can join a bit of 1 with 2, a bit of the 2 color with the 3 color, and a bit of the 3 with the 4, because Avais, the primaries, can certainly connect with each other. There's a Pasuk Vahaya, which allows that as well. Says the Gemara, Reicha Shamin and Rabbi Akiva, Zulam Al Mizu. In fact, where do we find that Rabbi Akiva takes this approach? That they're all sort of linked with each other, rather than being two distinct classifications, two distinct entities. Ilei Mamad Asanya, perhaps from the following Brisa. Am Rabbi Yesi. Rabbi Yesi states that Sho'al Yehishua, Rabbi Yeshua, who's the son of Rabbi Akiva, Rashi brings that this is the famous Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Ben Karcha is a bald man. Rabbi Akiva was bald. Interesting. So, Shaul Yeshua ben Yeshua Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. Yeshua, who was Rabbi Akiva's son, asked his father. He went directly to the source. He had a question. Mipne ma amru maris negoim shnayim shein arba. Why, in fact, do we have this whole, list, this extensive list with names in the Mishnah? We have the Baharis with the two primary, which double into four. What's the point of saying it that way? Amar Leif, the father, responded, how then should it be presented? There are four shades of white representing four types of nega. Amar Leif, im lav mayim, if not for saying it that way, how else would you suggest they say it? Well, says Rabbi Yeshua, I'll tell you how they do it. He's supposed to be as short and concise as possible when you teach Torah. It's a Mishnah. It's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Gimel. Rashi brings Lo Elam Yishan Adam LeTalmidei Derek Tzara. If you want it to really be absorbed properly and retained, be as short and to the point as you can be. So why go through this extensive description of names and levels? Just say like this: anything above this level is Tami. That's all. Anything brighter than an egg is included. Is deemed an impure. A nega with just tummy. That's all. Yomer, they should just say simply, Mikrum beya lomala tummy. Any shade of white which is starting from the egg membrane and brighter is tummy. And stop there. Amar Leif, the father responded, Rabbi Kibra responded. The reason why we had to go into the more extensive detailing is Lema to teach us Shemitzdar from Zemze. That you can actually combine, you can join. Rashi explains to tell you, you can join, and this is how you join it. Right? Like we said before, they link with each other. So it's a succession, it's a build up. This one on top of this one, on top of this one. So now we know exactly in what cases we could join two colors together, which cases we can't. Basically, you're compatible with your next door neighbor. That's the point of going into the details. So he says, what do you mean? Sure, to teach us that point, you still don't have to go through all the names. They can simply say that mikrum beitzo lamala tami umistar from zemze. Okay, so add that point as well. Say, well, anything starting from the egg membrane going upward, meaning brighter, is Tame, and yeah, then it's Darf and Zemze, and each color can connect to the color next to it. There you go. So what's the point of being so detailed and extensive and giving those names and labels? Amar Leif, the father responded, you're right. Technically, the halacha could have been stated very briefly and concisely without detailing. The reason why we did is Lo Melech to teach you. The Mishnah here is teaching us a lesson. A kohen has to be properly trained, familiar with all the terms and the names and the labels. Now he's qualified to inspect a nega. A kohen is not fully versed in the different types and shades and colors, then he's not qualified. He can't be asked to inspect a nega. So that's the point of the Mishnah, but technically speaking, it could have been presented much more simply. End of discussion. Let's go back and analyze the back and forth. His question was, to his father was, let us just state from the Krum Beitza Ulamala being Tame. Now, let's stop for a second. If he was to be following the other approach stated earlier, the Chachamim's approach, two distinct families here, Beharis with its attachment, Sa'is with its attachment, and only they can connect, you know, with each other within the same family. And when he said, well, the Chacham should have just said, from the egg going up is Tami, he meant the egg color connecting with its own parent color, which we know to be the Se'es, because the Krum Beitza connects to Se'es. But that's it. It doesn't connect to the other, because each family is a standalone, independent entity. So why did he stop there? Why didn't he elaborate further? He should have concluded his question. He should have said, well, the Mishnah should say, Krum Beitza Ulamala is Tame, meaning the Krum Beitza could connect to the primary color in its own class. But he should have continued. He's not done. He should have said, well, there's another option as well, that the Sid HaHechel, the paint color, can also connect. Anything from the Sid HaHechel upward is Tame, meaning he connects with his parent color. So he's Tame, anything above him is Tame as well, meaning, i.e., his parent color is also Tame. So instead of going through all the names, he could have just said a brief like that. But it should have indicated that we're speaking about two different classes of colors, if in fact there are two different families. Ve'ilu misid heichel umal lekomer, he doesn't mention anything regarding the other grouping, that colors from Sid HaHechel upward is Tame on its own in a separate class. Lekomer. Midalei amalei, the fact that he omitted mention of that, Shmamino, clearly we see the Shmielei, the Rabbi Kiva, that he heard from his father, Rabbi Kiva, who did not subscribe to the two-family system. The Amar, who holds, it's all one big happy family, all linked with each other. The Amar, Kulul about this Ace Mitzdarfen, that the two secondaries on the bottom of the list connect to Ace, rather than one to Beharis and one to Ace, and therefore they could all connect to each other. One could connect to two could connect to three, because they're all part of this Ace family. There's no issue of separation. Says the Gemara, no. Vedilma se'es v'taldasa, Beharis v'taldasa. Perhaps he really meant to refer to two groupings. Se'es has a telada, Beharis has a telada, and the two separate distinct entities. That's all he meant, even though he didn't say it out, he didn't spell it out. That's what he meant to say. Part of his question was, listen, let's just compress and condense our presentation of the Negoim. Instead of going through all the names, just say, look, this family and that family, the membrane and the one above, and the paint and the one above, because there are really two families. So perhaps that's all he meant to say. He didn't mean to say it's one big happy family. So there goes that attempt at substantiating, at proving Rabbi Kiva's opposing view. Rather, we found another source. Rabbi Chanina. He came to explain Rabbi Kiva's shita. Moshol Rabbi Kiva l'mad v'dayim. How could I illustrate to you Rabbi Kiva's system regarding the four shades of white, the four levels of nega? Imagine you have four glasses of milk on the table, and somehow you end up with four shades of white. How? Because you dropped in a little red material, a drop of blood. Echad, one glass had two drops of blood, very little, so it's still pretty white. Nafal l'teche shtei tipin shel dam, two drops of blood dropped in there. It's still somewhat stark. Was not very much affected by that blood. So that's the highest nega, the most stark. That's the Beharis, like the snow, you know, Snow White. The next one had a little more blood, which tinged it a little bit. Ve'echad, which dulled the white. Ve'echad naful teche arba tipin shel dam. The other one had four drops. Ve'echad naful teche shmoina. Next one had eight, double, right, 100%, you know, double. Ve'echad naful teche shtei me'esri tipin. Next one had 12. Tesis asked why 12, according to this formula, it should be 16, because you're always doubling. You're going from 2 to 4 to 8, it should be 16. So he says, once you get to this kind of percentage, you sort of, you know, reached the critical mass. It's a little bit more would already affected in a serious way. So not 16, 12 is enough. Some actually say 16. So in reality, Shekul and Mar's Levenhain, they're all technically white. All glasses are still white. But different levels of white, different shades of white. It's a successive system. From the dullest to the brightest. The fact that he uses this Lashon, indicates that it's all one big family. Rather than two separate distinct classifications. Hence, they could be mitzaref with each other. Well, Amor de Shamus le Rekiva with Pasuch. You see, there's something called Pasuch. If you look in the Torah, which describes the color of the Nega, we speak about a Nega which is stark white. And then the Torah speaks about something which is Adamdam, tinged with red. It's a different brand, different variation of a Nega. Which is what this is, right? Blood mixed in with milk gives it a certain slight red tinge, you know, in varying levels, right? Depending on how much you put in. So perhaps in that regard, yeah, Rabbi Akiva considers them all one part of this one happy family. They're all red tinged negoim, and they can connect with each other as long as it's, you know, like we said, the connection is with the shade, with the color, which is right next to yours, you know, which is close enough to yours. Perhaps that's specific to this type, to Pasuch, to the red-tinged Negoim, but B'chalak Misham Aslei, where do we find the Rekiva? Applies the same principle to B'chalak, to clear white. Perhaps it's treated differently. Different classifications, different shades. Well, B'chitema, perhaps you'll say, what difference does it make? If these connect, and those connect. Just like we heard that Rebbe Akiva considers that one and the same regarding Pasuch. Perhaps the same would apply to stark white. Why would you differentiate? Well, Pasuch Gufe Mishamasle. Since when? Does Rebbe Akiva have this view regarding tinged negayim? It's incorrect. Look, Vatanya or Vatanan. So this is actually in Maseches Negoim, first parak, the second Mishnah. Immediately after the first Mishnah, which discusses the four levels of white, the four distinct labels, Aheres, and right, and Seis. So Rabbi Akiva comes and he explains. Adds another layer. There's something called tinged, red tinged, the Adamdam, right? Rabbi Akiva Oyma Adamdam. There's a reddish variation. Shebeze v'shebeze. Of that meaning referring back to the first Mishnah, the Baheres, the Sa'es. How is that described? Ki yain hamazik b'mayim. Takes a different, applies a different recipe, different mix. You have wine diluted with water. And again, you know, with varying degrees, various proportions, which result in different types of, you know, tintings. Right? From a drop to, you know, a little bit more, and that's how you get the different levels of red-tinged negoyim. The fact that Rekiva is referring back to the original list of Baharis and Seis and the two families, right? Look how he continues. He says, Ella, Shel Baharis, Azaka Shelek. If you mix in a little wine into the Baharis, you still end up with a pretty bright, or the Gir says, Sheleg Aza. He started with a really bright Baharis blotch, and you mix in a little wine. Yeah, it's still somewhat bright. It still retains its brightness. Vishel Sid, but if you're starting off with a dull color like the Sid, which is way down on the ladder, and you mix in some red or some wine, Deya Himena, it gets really dull, much more than the Baharis. So clearly he's referring back to Baharis and going in order. Of the Chachamim, who say that it's Baharis as the Av, as the father, as the parent, as the primary color, which has a sequel, so to speak, an attachment called Sid, which we call number two. Two and four go together. And likewise, Seis, which is right wall, which is number three on our list, connects down to with number one, the egg membrane. In fact, Rabbi Akiva makes a direct correlation between four and two, the Beharis Azak Ashalak down to Sid, which is number two. He skips over number three, indicates to us that in fact he adopted the two family approach. Because Vim Isa, if it were so, that it's all one continuous, successive list that really all connects to each other. He should have said, well, we go from Snow White to the next one, which is the wall, from four to three. Why do you skip over three and go down to two? He should have said, well, starting point is the brightest, the Beharis, like snow. And, it's a little wine mixed in, it gets a little dull, a little tinged. And the next one would be Semer, which is next on the list. Starting point is Semer, so it's not as bright as snow. And when it gets tinged, it gets a little bit more affected than the previous one. Roshot Semer, Dehimena, is more dull than the more tinged than the Beharis, because the starting point of Beharis was much higher, much brighter. So in any case, that's how he should refer to it. Should have gone from four to three. In order, if it's really just one continuous string of colors, Miboyle, that's how he should have presented it. So it sounds like he actually was working with the Chachamim system. Two separate classifications, separate families. Beharis and his kid, and Seis and his kid. Amri, no, the response was given, Enoch Nami, you're 100% right. Rabbi Akiva's personal position was that it's one successive, continuous system. What do you mean, Vatanya, in fact, we have a Rai from a Brais, Rabbi Nassan, who explains Rabbi Akiva's statement. Rabbi Nassan, Omer, lo yisham Rabbi Akiva shal Sid deyahimena. He didn't really mean to go down to Sid, to skip over Seis, and go down to Sid. El shal Tzemer deyahimena. He really meant to say, the next one would be the Tzemer. And he was going in order. And Tosfos says, but what do you mean? He's clearly saying talking about the paints. He says, because he was relating to the Tanakhama, to the Chachamim. You work with the two-family system, two groupings, so I'm going to, relate to that. But he himself did not split them into two groupings, and it's all one big family, in which case we have a source to keep his opinion. Okay, let's now clarify and define the essence, the colors of the various types of negoim. Beharis is the brightest. How do we know? Amar Abaye Amakro, v'im Beharis Levanahi. Beharis is the Levanahi. The extra word, he, denotes uniqueness. He Levana. Oh, this is really bright. V'ina Acheres Levana. Nobody matches up to its brightness. Tan Rabbanan. Beharis Amuka. The Beharis blotch on one's skin appears to be deeper than the skin. It appears to be recessed into the skin. V'cheinu Omer, the pasuk describes it. Umar Eha, Omaik Minar. It appears deeper in the skin. How? It's really on the same, same surface. Kemara Chama, Hamukim Natzel. You have a look at the sun next to shade. Now you go outside, you see a shady spot. The bright, sunny spot next to it appears recessed, appears to be lower. It's just the way it is, right? So that's how the Beharis appears on one's skin. As opposed to Se'es, which is a shade of white, which is less bright, less stark. So all the white, but not as bright as Beharis, and therefore not as recessed. Doesn't appear as lower in the skin. Ain Se'es el gavoya. In fact, the word Se'es means it's higher, because it's closer up to the surface in appearance. As the pasuk says, Al harim, kol harim ha'aramim. While a kolag voice, anisois, we see nisois is something elevated. The pasuk speaks about sapachas. Ulas eis, ulas sapachas, ulas baharis. What does sapachas mean? Elas ein sapachas, ela tefela means an add-on, an attachment, a secondary color. Chenu aymer, the pasuk says, v'amar sapchenina, gather me together, attach me, bring me in. Ashkan tefela ulas eis. Pasuk says ulas eis, ulas sapachas, ulas baharis. It sounds like sapachas relates to seis. So seis has his own attachment. the add-on color, a lower shade of white. Tefela lebeheres menolon, according to Chachamim, beheres also has a tafel, also has a sapachas. Where is that mentioned in the pasuk? On Rab Zera, we connect one to the other. Nemra levana b'seis, we have the word levana by seis. Nemra levana b'heres, we have the word levana by b'heres. We connect the two. Ma levana amura b'seis, just like seis, which has the word levana, has an attachment to it. Yesh latfeil af levana amura b'heres. Likewise, b'heres, which has the word levana related to it, also has an attachment, has a secondary color to boot. Yesh latfeil. That's one approach. Masni satan in the b'raisa, we have another source. The pasuk says ula seis, ula sapachas, ula b'heres. The word sapachas is situated between seis and baharis. It's sandwiched between to tell you that it goes both ways. Hitel akosav l'sapachas. The pasuk placed the word sapachas bein seis, between the word seis prior, l'baharis following. L'emach to tell you, k'shem shetfeila seis, just like seis has a tfeila, likewise, kach tfeila l'baharis. Seis ketzemar lavan. So baharis, the brightest, snow white. Seis, a shade lower, like fresh white wool. My tzemar lovan. How do you get white wool? What does that mean? Amar baby, amar vasi. Tzemar naki, clean wool, ben yoimai. Of a newborn sheep. Shemachavin oisel amelas. So they take the, you know, fresh wool on the day of, right? And they cover it. They protect it, lamelas, to be used for melas material. Material clothing made of this clean, fresh wool. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have the four shades of white, the four marois negoim, according to Chachamim. Two classes, two families. Beheres with its telada, seis with its telada. It's like a, you know, like a king with his second in command. Then you have another king of a lower stature. Right? Beheres and seis are like two kings of different stature, different, you know, he's a superpower king, he's just a plain king, right? And each one has his own sort of vice president, his minister behind him. Primary with his secondary. That's the Chachamim's opinion. Whereas according to Rav Akiva, they're all linked with each other. It's not like you have two distinct families. You have Beheres on top, followed by Seis, the two kings, but then come the ministers behind. And the minister is, a secondary to the Seis fellow. They're not, you know, it's not like one to Beheres and one to Seis. They're sort of following the foot soldiers behind the kings. So here we have some illustrative equations how to perceive these four levels. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Moshal the Rabbanon Lama, Lamad Avadim. Here's an illustration of the Chachamim's system. L'trei Malchi, L'trei Parchi. You have two kings of different levels, of different, you know, levels of power. You have two iparchi, a second in command, like a minister. Malka shalzeh, lemala malka shalzeh. So King A, the stronger king, walks before the weaker king. So that's Beheres, followed by Seis. So malka shalzeh, the king of this minister, right, is lemala, is ahead, malka shalzeh, of the king of the other minister. Iparchi shalzeh, the minister of King 1, Lamala walks before and is a notch above Bifarki Shalzeh, the minister of King number 2. So again, we compare the Beheres and the Seis, which are the two primary colors, to the kings, and then the other ones to the ministers, vice presidents, or whatever. So as the Gemara, hold it. This actually depicts Rabbi Akiva's system. According to Chachamim, they should be walking separately. Each family, each group, should be marching on its own. King with his minister and king with his minister, right? Hi, your system of king, king, minister, minister is like one big happy family. Zel malam mizehu. This is closer to Rakiva's description, that it's all just one string of linked colors. Ella, rather, you're right. Malke shel ze lemala mifarchei denafshe. Let's split the march. This king, the stronger king, the bigger king, is connected with his second in command, Umalka Shalzeh, and this king over here, the king of the other minister, Lamala Mipachadanashe, walks before his own minister. So it's king, minister, king, minister. Rav Ada bar Abba Omar, he has a slightly different description of how this works. Going Malka Valkafta, Malka is the grand king, Valkafta is a lower level king, like a king of lower stature. Rufila is a general, Vrishkalusa is the head of the community. So again, it's major king, minor king, major ruler, minor ruler. Again, the same question. We're not splitting them into two groups. Hai zela malamizeu. This is more like a Rakiva system. Ella, rather, we have to revise it. Could go in Malka Rafila. Here we have the grand king with his general, Valkafta, Vrishkalusa, and then we have the minor king with his, a leader there, with his ruler. Rabba Amar, how do we have two kings of different statures? Could go in Shvar Malka, the Kesar. Kesar was the Roman emperor, grand ruler, and you have the Shvar Malka, the Persian king, two kings of different stature. Amar Rabba the Rabba. Rabba asked Rabba, which one is greater, which one's more powerful? The ones that you mentioned, the Roman or the Haimin Ayodim? So he says, Amalei says, you're not living in civilization. How do you don't know what's going on? Bechur she ka'achale, he's spending time in the forest. You're detached from what's going on. You puk chazei, go take a look. Tiva deman sagi bama. Whose influence? Whose power is controlling the world? The Romans, the Edaim, right? Up until today, Malchus Edaim rules the world. We have the vision of Daniel when he foresaw the rise of Malchus Edaim, Matoichal Kal Arab, Tadishunna, Matidakan, it's going to destroy, it's going to control, it's going to trample over everything. Of Amar Rechon explains, it's a reference to Malchus Raimi. Zu Raimi Chayevis is the wicked Rome, Shetiva Yatzim Chalayim Kulai, whose power and influence took over the world. What do you mean, who's greater? And Farshim explained that he lived in under the Persian king's rule, so he was careful in the way he, referred to it. That's why he asked this question, which one's bigger. Ravina Amar, another illustration of the different levels of shades of white and off-white, comprised in the four Maris Nagoyim. We're looking for two primary whites with two secondaries. Kigon Glima de Amar v'shachke. So Baharis with its Teilada can be compared to a Glima de Amar, like a white woolen garment, fresh, stark white, v'shachke, and it's worn out version. So it's, in a way, it's worn out, but it's still similar. It's close in shade to its parent color. So that would be a depiction of Baharis with its derivative. On the other side, you have Se'es with its Teilada, Sedina de Kitna. It starts off as a lower shade of white, a more dull off-white. Linen, a linen sudden, a linen sheet, nice and bright, but it's still a duller white, a more off-white than the previous woolen begad, the shachkeh, and its worn-out version, which is a tad lower. That's the Baharis with the Teilada, and Se'es with the Teilada. Okay, the Mishnah speaks about Tumas Migdash HaKadoshah, generating a carbon oil of the earth, if one inadvertently either entered the Beis HaMikdash or consumed a carbon while he was Tameh, unbeknownst to him that he was Tameh, he brings a carbon called oil of the earth. Oil of the earth is a fluid, versatile, flexible type of arrangement, depending on your financial state. If you can afford an animal, go ahead. If you don't have for an animal, you can bring a bird. Otherwise, a mincha. Interestingly, we find psukim that warn and indicate punishment when done intentionally. We don't have a clear pasuk. The pasuk speaks about one who yiga, he touched the tumah while he was tummy, touched the kodesh. Touching. What about eating? What about entering the Mikdash? Right? So we don't have a clear source that too generates a carbon oil of the earth. So where from? How do we know? This pasuk we just related to, which is in Vayikra Perakei, pasuk base, Tir Aleph. How do we know, in fact, that those psukim are describing a fellow who interacted while he was tummy, interacted with Migdash, or Kadasha with the Karbonis, and he ate and he went into the Migdash? Maybe it's speaking about, just touching, something which is Kadesh. But then we can figure it out on our own. Why? Since we find elsewhere the Torah warning and punishing one who purposely, intentionally, ate a carbon while he was tummy, or enters the Mikdash while he was tummy. So we know that as a fact. B'mezid, liable. And here we find a carbon regarding some sort of inappropriate tum'ah interaction with kachim, v'chiv carbon al-tum'ah. We assume it's the same circumstance. Just like when Torah warns and punishes. Torah is specifically relating to an experience of tumas mikdash kedasha, meaning he either ate a carbon or entered the mikdash while he was tummy, b'mezid. So he gets his kares. Afke shechiv carbon al tumah. Likewise, when the Torah applies carbon for tumah, we're speaking of this very type of case, this very circumstance. Lechiv ela al tumas mikdash kedasha, but only applies specifically in a case where he inadvertently interacted with the beis hamikdash who ate the carbon while he was tummy. Hence, a source for carbon oil of yared by tumas mikdash kedasha b'shoigig. Who says we're talking about beis hamikdash or carbon? Maybe we're speaking about truma. You know, when the pasuk warns against touching kodesh, we're speaking about a fellow who touched a truma. Ve'ema. Ve'ema truma. Where we also find a warning and a punishment. There's a person who eats a truma while he's tummy. There's misa b'dei shemayim, death by heaven. Ve'ema truma, shehizer v'anosh. And now we have the pasuk that b'shoigig he brings a carbon oil of yared, perhaps. No, le'ashkan avin misa dechayav le'akarbon. You know, we never find a carbon of carbon chatos unless the flip side of it is a kares violation, a kares liability. If you do b'mezid kares, so then b'shoigig there's a chatos. We have this by the way, the Zohar, that's what the Torah speaks about, a chatos b'shoigig, which carries with it a kares liability if done b'mezid. So that's the formula you got to work with. It's, you know, kares on the flip side of chatas, as opposed to truma. Le'ashkan avayin misa, the chayav le'akarbon. There it's misa b'dei shemayim. It's a different type of punishment. It's not kares. Who says? We never find a precedent to this suggestion that it would generate a carbon if it was done b'shege. So truma is not really an option. Well, who says? Eima hanamil carbon kavua. Perhaps you're right with respect to a static carbon, a carbon chatas, which is, you know, non-negotiable, as opposed to carbon oil of a yard, which is flexible, depending on financial status, right? So perhaps you're right. To bring a carbon kavua, standard chatas, that's only brought on the flip side of a kares. If there's kares b'mezid, there's chatas b'shegik, which truma does not, you know, qualify for. Avol, oil of a yard, but this type of unique carbon that we're speaking about today, oil of a yard, you know, perhaps it can apply even to truma, despite it not having a kares option. Nasi, let him bring it. I'll give you examples. Midi the habits like Ashmias Koil. Ashmias Koil, the fellow who was sworn, he was a shvo imposed on him by a litigant who wanted to come testify on his behalf, and he promised he has no information to help him. He made a shvo, turned out to be a false oath. In this case, there's no misa, there's no kares. Nevertheless, if he comes around and admits, he has to bring a carbon oil of yard. So we see carbon oil of yard is a unique carbon which applies in all kinds of circumstances. But Bitis Vasaim, oh, we're familiar with that, right? Bitis Vasaim is that Shvua, he promised he'll have breakfast, he didn't. So he brings a carbon oil of yard. Even though there's no kares or misa option in those cases. Right? So since we see by inadvertent violations of Shmias Koil and Bitis Vasaim, it triggers a carbon oil of yard, perhaps inadvertent consumption of truma while one is tummy can also trigger a similar consequence. So again, perhaps the pasuk of Oli V'Yared relates to eating truma, not to Kodesh or Mikdash. Amakra, the pasuk says, Ba! Ashiyutma Ba. Ba is an exclusionary term, it's a miyut. Ba, limutei truma as opposed to truma. So truma is not up for consideration. Who says the pasuk is excluding truma? Maybe it's excluding Kodesh. Ema Ba, we can say Ba is limutei Mikdash Kedashav. The loisagile b'carbon oil of a yerid, ademaisi carbon kavua. Ba perhaps is ruling out this carbon oil of a yerid, which is sort of a mitigated type of carbon because it's, you know, given to negotiation, that wouldn't apply to Mikdash HaKadoshah. Perhaps that needs a greater, a higher, more severe form of punishment, more severe form of kapara. Won't do it. Adamaisa carbon, come on, unless he brings an absolute carbon, a static carbon, an animal. So back to the question. Where's the source? That carbon oil of the earth is applicable to Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh. Kari Rava Leidu Rebbe. So Rava exclaimed about Rebbe, Rebbe HaKadosh. He came up with the source. Doile Mai Mibaris HaMukam. He draws waters from the deepest, deepest pits, deepest holes. He was able to successfully draw out a source for this halacha d'sanya. We have a brisa. Rebbe Yoimer. If you look at the pasuk in Vayikra Hei, which describes the event, he touched, he became tummy by touching a dead animal, benivlas chaya tmeya. And then the pasuk continues, another option would be, oy benivlas behema tmeya. Isn't that redundant? Typically behema in the Torah is under the same umbrella as chaya. When you say chaya, it typically includes even behema, even the more domesticated animals. So why this repetition? Rebbe Yoimer, ekra ani chaya. It would have been enough to say chaya, behema lamal, why add behema? To teach us something, to allow us a correlation. Nemra kan behemat mei. We have the words emat mei over here. V'nemra lahalam behemat mei. We have the same lashon down in Vayikra Zayin, where it describes a fellow who touched the behemat mei, and he ate. In that state, he ate carbon from a shlamim. V'nemra lahalam behemat mei. Malahalam, just like over there. What's the context? Tumas kodesh. He engaged with the carbon while he was tummy. Afkan here as well. Back in Reikra, hey, regarding the carbon oil of Yared, Afkan Tumas Kodesh. We're speaking about likewise, a fellow who ate a carbon while he was tummy. That's your answer. Okay, but it's only a limited response because we're looking for a source for Tumas Kodesh and Tumas Migdash as well. Who says the same would apply when entering the Migdash in a state of Tumas Ashkan Tumas Kodesh? We've established Tumas Kodesh. Tumas Migdash Milan, what about entering the Migdash while tummy? That it triggers the same consequence. Makro. We have another pasuk elsewhere regarding a woman that's tummy, b'chol kodesh le'siga, v'al mikdash le'savai. She shouldn't be eating korban. She shouldn't be entering the mikdash. So we see a linkage between the two activities, right? Iskish mikdash le'kodesh. We see a connection, a link between the base of mikdash and kodesh. Whatever applies to this applies to that. Yochi truma nami. You know what? Truma really is covered by that pasuk as well because b'chol. B'chol kodesh esiga covers truma too. So it's also linked. And should have the same consequence. Yachi truma nami. Adam arma, as we learned back in, if you recall, in Makis, Daf Yudalad, b'chol kodesh esiga, the word b'chol, the rabbi said truma is coming to add truma as well. So why not include truma in this system too? Well, you can't. Hamiyat rachmana ba. Pasuk says ba, as mentioned earlier, which excludes truma from this, you know, pattern. Well, who says? Ema, we can say ba l'mutim migdash. The word ba, yeah, it's excluding, but excluding the fellow who entered the migdash. So include truma and exclude the migdash. Well, mistaver migdash l'matinan. It makes sense not to exclude the base of migdash. Shekein bekaris kamaisa. Because there's a similarity. We're trying to link kodesh to migdash, right? Entering the Mikdash Betuma is more similar to eating Kodesh Betuma than Truma is to eating Kodesh Betuma because, as we said before, when one consumes Truma while he's tummy, there's Misa B'Deh Shemayim, not Karis. Which is a bit dissimilar to eating a carbon Betuma, which generates Karis, which is the same penalty applied upon entering the Mikdash Betuma. So since Kodesh and Mikdash carry the same type of consequence, Shekein B'Karis Kamaisa, it's probable that when we're excluding, we exclude the truma and we leave the migdash in the fold. Ah, the rabbi, just the opposite. Truma le matinan. How could you exclude truma from this equation? Shekein achila kamoisa. Because if anything, it's more similar to eating kodesh. Eating truma and eating kodesh are more similar than entering the migdash, which is walking into the migdash, which is a totally different type of activity. So basically, that takes us back to the question. Mishnah speaks about a carbon oil of yerid applying to a fellow who ate kodesh or entered the mikdash betuma. Where is that source? Okay, Rabbi Hashem will continue tomorrow with the next step in this discussion, Ela Marava. But in the meantime, let's just summarize today's daf. We started with four Maris Negoim, which according to the Chachamim are divided into two classes, two groups. Av and Tolda, right? Beheres and its offspring, so to speak, and the Seis with its derivative. The word described it as, you know, a king with his general, another king with his, right? So two kings, but they're of different, of varying statures, with their vices, with their attachments. The Beheres, as we spoke, is the brightest. We have a pasuk for that. It looks the deepest, the most recessed. Seis is bright, but a little less bright. We spoke about Rakiva Shita as well. He doesn't classify them into two separate, divide them into two separate families. There's Beheres on top, followed by Seis, and then two attachments, which attach themselves to Seis, and you can connect, you can be Mitzarif. As long as you're just attaching and combining with the shade immediately next to you. So each shade is only compatible with the next one over, as opposed to the color which is too away, which is too distant. Rashi explains actually that according to Rekiva, the two attachments of Seis can attach back to their parent color, even though number one, which is the bottom one, is really two notches away from number three, which is the parent Seis, but we have a pasuk for that. You know, Rashi learns that that's okay. As long as he's attaching to his parent color, that's fine, even though he's leapfrogging over number two. That's just a side point. And likewise, the two parent colors, the Beheres and Seis, can also attach to each other. Vahaya allows them to be attached. But what a Rekiva accomplishes is that number two, right, which is the Sidra Heichel, can attach to number three, which is his parent color, because we don't say, well, number two is the derivative of number four, like the Chachamim's opinion. Okay, so in that case, to keep it clear, according to Chachamim, we have Beheres and Telada, and Seis and Telada. According to Rekiva, it's not so. We have Beheres and Seis and two Teladas, which connect back to Seis. Okay, we described the Beheres as Snow White, Seis as Tzemer Lav and the fresh wool. And then we proceeded with trying to discover the source for Karban Olav Yered to one who inadvertently got involved with eating Karbanis or entering the Middash in a state of Tumah. And Bez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. All the best to you and Atzlachu Rabbah.